Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So thank you for tuning in to Defined by Moments, where we are finally at the last of our episodes as we've moved through the entire book of Proverbs. So go ahead and grab those Bibles and let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. Now, if this is your first time with us, we're only going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 because the latter part of the chapter, where it deals with the description of a wise woman, of a worthy woman, we have discussed that in concert with another section in the earlier part of Proverbs. But just to kind of give us an overview before we come to this conclusion, which I have appropriately named the last word. In looking at Proverbs, we have seen the importance of fearing God, of having this attitude of awe, so that we adore God and it leads to actions of our lives, so that it shows that we acknowledge who He is in our lives. You know, we have also talked about how a wise word given at the right time will make all the difference in the world. How what we do with our finances shows whether we truly believe in wisdom or not. How that we choose intoxication or chasing riches or chasing, you know, socialization with others, those really are not a substitute for wisdom. Ultimately, if we are rightly related with God, then we'll be rightly related to wisdom, and that leads to us being rightly related to others. So all of this in our life and our leadership hinges upon what we do with wisdom. So as we get to the conclusion here, verse 1 of Proverbs 31 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him." Now let's just stop here. It's not clear who this king is. Some say that it is Solomon, it's just a different name for him, while others make the argument that it's an unknown king, and really, who this person is, it doesn't matter. Because what truly matters is that these thoughts are given to us. They are recorded in this book of Proverbs that is contained within the Old Testament. So God considers them necessary for us. This is contained in His Word, in His Scripture, that has been passed down for thousands of years. But what we know here is this is advice from the Queen Mother. This very well could have been that she has observed her husband, she has observed the king, and there's some things that she wants to reiterate to her son. Or she has observed her husband and the king and said, you know what, you need to be different than what he is. This could also be an opportunity for her to have observed other rulers that have come into the king's court, and she's reflected upon them and is wanting to share these lessons with her son. So again, who this king is doesn't really matter. What does matter is that God has these thoughts very clearly for us. Now notice how this opens up with verse 2. The queen mother is speaking to her son and says, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows?" This threefold inquiry is to get his attention, because each cycle here gets a little bit more personal. Hey, you're my son. Then it becomes, you're the son that I carried and I gave birth to. You're mine. Then it becomes, you're the son of my vows. So this could be not just that you're my son and that I carried you and I gave birth to you, but I, as your mother, have prayed for you before you were born, while I carried you, and after you were born. You know, maybe during that time, much like Hannah, when she prayed to the Lord and asked for a son, said, "I will give him back to you." But all of this is personal. You're my son. You are mine. And you are the one that I have prayed to God about. That kind of an introduction would have grabbed his attention. And then she goes into three specific things that she wants to lay out for him. Number one, we see in verse 3. She says, "Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings." In other words, she's telling her son, you need to focus on what is most important in life. It's not earthly relationships. It's not wealth. It's not marrying other women of other kings in order to create alliances that you can depend upon. What he's saying, or what she is saying to him, is where you get your greatest satisfaction, that is the God that you serve. And very clearly, she's saying here not to make women the God that he serves. You know, if this is, you know, Solomon, and this is a wife of Solomon talking to her son, well, she clearly had an example, a bad one, that she needed to make sure that she taught her son, where Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. He was not devoted to one person. He was devoted to many. And that ended up creating jealousy. It created favoritism. There's frustration. There's a lack of commitment. And quite frankly, it's a dependence upon alliances for safety rather than depending upon God. So this closing here, this first last word is, you need to figure out what's most important in your life and put your effort there. Now, why does this matter? Because the culmination of everything that we have seen so far points to one thing. We need to fear God. If you fear God, if you love Him, if you trust Him, if you live after Him, then guess what? You will know what's most important, and you will not fall into this trap that we see this mother telling her son to avoid at all cost. So secondly, we go from focus on the most important to verses 4 through 7, where she goes through a list of specific distractors that he needs to avoid. Look at verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. By saying here we need to avoid certain distractors, obviously the piece that is identified is an intoxicant. It's wine. But really, the aspect here is to remember that you as a king, you as a leader, you in living your life, it's not about you. This is broader than your comfort. This is broader than your everyday satisfaction. You are here. You were created for a purpose. And that purpose is not to serve yourself. So it goes back, if you figure out what is most important, which is fearing God, because we see that thesis from the very beginning in chapter 1, where Solomon says, fear God, period. That's the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. This queen mother is offering wisdom to her son. And the question is, will he be wise, or is he going to be foolish and reject it? But the distraction here is if you focus on strong drink, if you become intoxicated, if you're doing those things and partying and celebrating and doing all of this, you're not doing the work, the purpose that you're here for. You're being distracted from what is most important. And for him, what's most important? Look at verse 5. He says, for if you drink, you're going to forget what's decreed. And you're going to pervert, you're going to forget, you're going to overlook the rights of those that are struggling. In other words, as a ruler, as a leader, you are to set the example. Which means you need all of your faculties. You need to be alert. You need to be sober. That's wisdom. The other way that you exhibit wisdom in avoiding these distractions is that you have compassion on those that are struggling. Instead of hoarding this wine, this intoxicant for yourself, you look at others that are really struggling and you offer them assistance. Now, this is, let's not take this literally and go, hey, this means we just need to give everybody that's poor a bunch of stuff to get them drunk. That's not what's going on here. The imagery is that we have those who are dying, that are struggling. How can you be generous to them to make their last few days comfortable? Wisdom, focusing back on what's most important, means we no longer look at ourselves, but we look upon the needs of others. When my mother was losing her battle with cancer, you know, she was transferred over into a hospice home, and hospice does some tremendous work. They made her comfortable. They gave her a room that did not appear to be, a hospital room. It was as close to home as she would ever be able to get. Her last few days, they made her comfortable. They were generous and they were compassionate. A person that is controlled by a life of wisdom, and that they are committed to fearing God and not this earth, will do the same thing. Because we understand that the most important thing is not ourselves, it's others. And that we will avoid the distractions that lead us and trap us in only doing things for me. So we see focus on what's most important. Number two, avoid the distractions. And then she wraps this up in verses 8 and 9 by hammering home the point that you are to serve others and add value to them. Look at verse 8. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. We have a responsibility, if we are wise, to speak for those who cannot. A good friend of mine that is a school administrator in charging his faculty told them, we have a large school, but you know what? It is our responsibility to know every single kid that has enrolled at our school. Why? Because if you don't know them, then you can't grow them. So what this mother is telling her son, who is going to be a ruler one day, is you need to speak for those who can't speak. And in order to protect the rights of the unfortunate, you have to know what's going on in their life. Let's cycle this back through again. You focus on what's most important, and it's not yourself. You avoid the distractions by looking your eyes to the others. Why? So that you can speak for them. Verse 9. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So not only do we speak for those who cannot, but we need to stand for what is right. There's an old statement out there that, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. Wise men, those that are rightly related to God, will always look to the needs of others. So let's go back to the very beginning, where we started in Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon lays out the usefulness of Proverbs, the intent behind them, and then he hammers home the thesis. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to live a life that is rooted in wisdom, if you want a life where the knowledge that you have acquired is then applied and used for the benefit of others, if you want to focus on what's most important, which is not yourself, then it all starts with this aspect of reverencing and fearing the Lord. Recognizing how great He is as a God who created this earth, who has given you life, who has created you for a purpose. If you want to add life to your days, you do that by aligning with the Creator who gave you those days. So as we wrap up this study on the book of Proverbs, I'm going to use a line that you have heard over and over and over, and it's in the exit of all of our episodes. How you live determines how you lead. You need to learn the truth. You need to live the truth so that you can lead others to the truth. Be the person that this queen mother wanted her son to be. Stay focused on the one thing that's most important. Avoid the distractors and serve others by speaking for those who cannot. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.